comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. And it's the show where you matter. It's the right place to be, and I'm delighted you're here. Tonight, we're going to return to a topic that we have discussed on two or three occasions. We're going to return to a discussion of this topic, super soldiers. I've done a little research in this, and you know, as far as I can tell, the first super soldiers, the first person to attempt to create super soldiers, was a guy by the name of Joseph Stalin. And he funded the work of Ilya Ivanov, who was one of Russia's top animal breeding scientists. And apparently, Stalin told Ivanov, "I want a new, invincible human being, insensitive to pain, resistant and indifferent about the quality of food they eat." So Ivanov was the first, as far as I was able to determine, to attempt at building a super soldier. Now, he failed. And he failed because what he tried to do was to interbreed, to mix the great apes and humans. And the problem with that is the great apes have 24 pairs of chromosomes. We have 23. And so it wouldn't work. And it was a failure. But that is, as far as I can tell, the first attempt. And we're going to be talking about the attempts of various other countries, and particularly the United States, to develop what some people are calling super soldiers. But it has a little bit of a different definition. The definition is not superhuman in terms of strength, although some of them may be. But having greatly advanced and greatly enhanced abilities. And so that's what we're going to be working on. And that's that topic. Some of the abilities would be things like psychic ability. Some of them would be an enhanced ability, for instance, at memory, being able to memorize vast amounts of information without anyone even noticing that's what they were doing, just by observing and then memorizing it, and other enhanced abilities. Being able to not only remember all that stuff, but then to give accurate dimensions within a few centimeters without ever measuring it with a measuring tape. Those are the kinds of enhanced abilities that apparently go into the making of today's super soldiers. We're going to be talking to someone who was in charge of some of those super soldiers right after this break. Flying under the radar,
Some of the music used on this broadcast is provided by the independent artists at music.podshow.com.
Join the Kevin Smith Show members area and get it all. For just 23 cents per day, the universe is yours.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening has been with us before, and I'm sure that many of you will remember him. His name is Dave Corso, and Dave Corso is someone who has quite an interesting story to tell. You may have seen him on Jesse Ventura's television show. And you may have heard him here. Maybe you saw him on a video over at Project Camelot. But he's got quite an interesting story to tell. And when he was with us before, we sort of hit the surface of some of this. Tonight, we're going to drill down into the story just a little bit more and see what we can find. Dave, I want to welcome you back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's a delight to have you back with us, sir.
Well, Kevin, it's a delight to be back with you as well. At least this time my voice is normal.
Well, Dave, that would be about the only thing about you that is normal, isn't it?
So well spoken. And as I said in Jerry Ventura's, or Jesse Ventura's program, you're so very astute.
Well, I've done a little bit of research into Project Talent and into the whole concept of super soldiers. I found some interesting things. Now, there are people out there who think that, in fact, there is no such thing as a super soldier program. There are actually many super soldier programs. But just so folks get a flavor of the reality, this is from back in January 2003, this article. And in this article, it says, the lead paragraph says, the Pentagon has launched a series of remarkable medical experiments to find a way to keep its soldiers and pilots awake and alert for up to 5 days at a time. Now, this article goes on to detail that there are a couple of pilots that were being prosecuted. They were going to be court-martialed. And the reason was that they accidentally killed four Canadian soldiers in Afghanistan back in 2002. And what they were going to argue in their defense was that they had been subjected to this, what we are calling super soldier program, in that they had been given drugs to keep them awake for long periods of time, and that impaired their judgment. So here is exactly what we are talking about, and it's in a court case. It's the real deal. The Pentagon search for this what we're calling super soldier actually goes under the title extended performance warfighter. That's true. That's what they call it, the extended performance warfighter. And it concentrates on employing advanced genetics and neurological science to keep warriors awake and alert. Advanced genetics, that's interesting. And drugs. Well, I drilled into this a little bit. Let me give a little bit of background here. And then I've got a whole bevy of questions for you this time. Things that I really didn't think about last time, but I have had time to think about. There is a public face, folks, and then there is the not public face of this super soldier program. It's not, as I said, just one program. There are a number of programs that are designed to achieve this extended performance warfighter. But Project Talent, I dug into because Project Talent is what Aaron McCollum has told us he was part of. I believe Duncan O'Finian was part of Talent, and I believe possibly you were part of Talent. Am I correct?
That I was.
All right. Now, the public face on this, folks, well, the public face has a logo, and the public face is that it was run by the American Institute for Research. And it was led by John C. Flanagan, who was a psychology professor at the University of Pittsburgh. The public face says that it was initiated in 1957, and they began to actually implement it, according to the public face, in 1960. And what they did is they decided they would do in-depth surveys, national survey, of the abilities, aptitudes, inclinations, quality of life, and backgrounds of over 400,000 U.S. high school students. And this, according to the public information here, began in 1960. The not-so-public part of this is who was in the background working, as they say, in cooperation. There was the U.S. Office of Education. Now, that was the precursor for the now Department of Education. there was the Office of Naval Research. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And then there was the National Science Foundation, also very interesting. So when I saw that what we had was a couple of, I mean, the U.S. Office of Education, okay, that's not so, that doesn't make you wheeze too much. But then when you look at the Office of Naval Research is in there, and you wonder why. Well, here is what happened. This is according to John Flanagan. After World War II, during World War II, and then just after, there was a need for very rapid mechanization, the ability to go from basically not all that industrial to totally industrial. And because of the war, and then in order to support the economy. And so, this, according to Flanagan, they needed to develop some aptitude tests that, and here's the quote, transformed bakers and brokers into pilots, bombardiers, and navigators. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, I haven't. I missed that article.
All right, now listen to this. And look, this is it's a long article. There's a lot of stuff here. But then I started looking for, okay, what came out of this study? What came out of this Project Talent that's out there for public consumption? Well, here are some of the scientific papers that were based on Project Talent data. This one is called, this is by Shaycroft, Marion Shaycroft, University of Pittsburgh, Project Talent Office, 1963. It's called The Identification, Development, and Utilization of Human Talents, studies of the complete age group, age 15. So how can they utilize? That's the deal. First, we identify what the talents are, then how can we utilize those talents? Which is exactly what all three of you guys have described as being part of Project Talent. How about this one? Now, this one was presented at the meetings of the American Psychological Association, September 1964. It's written by J.T. Daly, and it's called Implications of Project Talent for the Armed Forces. Does this sound to you folks like we're just on a talent search here? We're just trying to identify the kids that are going to do well in college? Well, a bunch of these papers are. There's like three or four pages here, and it's just a list of all these papers that have been written. Like this one. Who Gets Ahead? The Determinants of Economic Success in America. I mean, there are some that are fairly innocuous. How about this one? Building a Scientific Community. The Need for Replication. That's by B. Schneider. Do what?
That sends cold chills up and down my spine because I was six, and that was in 1947 when my training started. Duncan was six, and that would have been 1955, 1956, and he was gone for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my particular talents, I was only gone in the summertime.
Well, listen to this one. If that one sent chills down your spine, listen to this one. And this is simply written, all it says is it was written for intelligence. Interesting. Doesn't tell us who it was written for intelligence. It's written by C. Reeve, R. Meyer, and S. Bonaccio. Here's the title. Intelligence-Personality Associations Reconsidered. Intelligence and Personality Associations Reconsidered. The importance of distinguishing between the general and narrow dimensions of intelligence. Doesn't that sound, I could be wrong, but doesn't it sound a lot like what we're talking about here, is splitting personalities?
Exactly right.
Now, for those who are listening, or for those who may be watching on our TV channel, you might be saying, well, where in the world did you come up with such nonsense as that, Smith? How about Wikipedia? Wikipedia. Now, there's much more information and more deep and detailed information available on the Internet about this project. However, I wanted to use the one that I thought almost everyone would probably go read. If they were looking for information on Project Talent, what would most people read? They would probably read the Wikipedia article. And just in that article, we've got tidbits of information that tip us off that this really was all about splitting personalities. It was about identifying who had certain talents, figuring out ways to utilize those, utilize them for the military, and how to split intelligence and personality. Interesting. All right, so now, Dave, I've been going on and on, but I wanted people to get a flavor of what it is that we're talking about here when we talk about Project Talent and the Super Soldier program. In your appearance on the Jesse Ventura show, it was made very clear that you and the Super Soldiers were involved in assassinations.
Study.
And is that correct? Is that what the Super Soldiers do?
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
Let's start with me.
Mm-hmm.
How did they split me and my personalities? Well, my mother is Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
My father's Sicilian. My older brother went in the Marine Corps at age 17 in 1942. And he was assigned to the OSS, and he flew with the Flying Tigers and a few other things. And he had a good friend named, excuse me at this point in time, but he was 6'4", and he was a Romanian gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore earrings. And when they were in the Marine Corps in boot camp, this master sergeant said, you got to take those earrings out. And my brother's friend said, there's no one in this world big enough to take out my earrings, including you, and proceeded to show him. All right, let's go forward to 1960 or 1947. I was 6 years old, and from the time I was six till I was about 10 or 11, I can't recall any summers that I spent with the neighborhood kids. I do have memories that my mother later told me were false, that spending with my uncle Ed learning how to be a peddler. And he could sell fire to the devil. And I asked her in 1986, I said, I have these memories of being with my Uncle Ed in the summertime. Where was I? She looked at me and smiled and said, you were never with your Uncle Ed. And when you get old enough, you'll understand what I mean. And she gave me that look that I knew all too well. It says, I had asked enough questions. Now, how did they split me? Well, I inherited this extreme dislike of reptiles. And when you're 6 years old and you're put in a casket with snakes and frogs and toads and lizards and all kinds of other things, it does things to you. I still don't like reptiles.
I am with you, brother. I don't like reptiles.
Dead reptile. And through work with psychics, I have uncovered that I have had at least 8 alters. Numbers 1 through 6 and A and B. I know what A and B and 5 and 6 did. What 1 through 4 did, I haven't got a clue yet. But I'm going to dig more into that. But my job was to take a mosaic and build a clear picture out of it. I was given an assignment, given a team, and said, go do this. Here's what we want you to accomplish. How I got there, how I did it, was up to me. Duncan was taken when he was 5, 6 or 7. He's already told his story. But he was gone for like 5 years. And when I saw Duncan here in 1993, when I first met him, I knew him. There was no doubt in my mind I knew him.
All right, well, let's make sure that they understand who you're talking about. His name is Duncan O'Finian. And, folks, if you want to check him out, you can go to DuncanOfinian.com. All right, DuncanOfinian.com. We have to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dave Corso. And, Dave, we were talking about your involvement in the Super Soldier program, and you'd mentioned Duncan, and I was letting people know who he is. But your job, as I understand it, was to take fragments of the picture and assemble them into a clear picture.
That's correct.
All right. Now, what branch of the service of the military were you affiliated with?
The Marine Corps.
Marine Corps, okay. Now, since you mentioned Duncan, let me bring this up. You first met Duncan, I believe, when you were in Vietnam, right? I mean, you first saw him.
Cambodia, actually.
Well, tell us about that.
We were down in the Delta doing a little job. Chopper Commander said, you got to go to Cambodia. There's someone that needs your help. So me and the team climbed aboard there, and 45 minutes, an hour later, we were in Cambodia. He said, we can't go no further because there's a hell of a firefight going on down there. So I assessed the situation and said, there's more there than we can handle. We need a backup. Okay. 20 minutes later, there shows up this CH-46 Chinook helicopter. Out gets these 13 little kids. One of them was a white kid, was sort of like at the center of it. They joined hands. And the next thing I realized, there was a blinding flash with no sound. White light that just blinded everybody. And at that instant in time, there was no more firing. So we went in and we found the Special Forces team that we were in to send in. I said, what'd you see, Master Sergeant? He said, I don't know who you are, but all I saw was a blinding flash. Now, just to regress a few minutes, when we went back, as soon as that flash happened, I looked at the chopper, and there was a gentleman standing there in a green uniform with a strange shoulder patch. Couldn't make out too much what it was. All right, so we get everyone back, and we're all safe. And a couple days later, I'm down in Saigon, and I run across this officer again in a different uniform. Remembered the face. Well, it happens that on his shoulder patch was what we figured out later, working with Aaron McCullum, he had a Stargate patch on his shoulder. Now, the gentleman's name was John Morrow. All right, let's fast forward to 1992 when I have my computer shop here in Pahrump. John Morrow walks in my office or in my store, and I looked at him and I had this overwhelming desire just to kill him. Didn't know why, but I said, why do I have this feeling on someone I never met? So John and I got to be friends. Well, one Saturday afternoon in 1983, John was sitting up here, and we were talking. I says, I remember you from Vietnam. And he said, really? I said, yeah, you were in a chopper with 13 kids. And I saw you again in Saigon a couple days later. He said, you're remembering it. I said, yes, John. I said, let me tell you what my first instinct was when you walked in my shop the first day. I said, I wanted to kill you. And John's face turned ashen white. All right, he says, I got someone I want you to meet. I says, okay, we'll meet up at the Nugget tomorrow evening. He said, fine. So at the point in time, I walked in 2 minutes late like I normally do. And John turned around, and I looked at Duncan and said, I know you. And he said, I know you too. And Shauna, who was with him, said, I know you as well. And I said, I know you. I saw you two in Cambodia. And Dunk says, you're right.
Okay, so he was one of the kids.
Duncan was.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to this blinding flash of light for a moment. Let's talk about that blinding flash of light. Don't leave us hanging. What was that? What happened?
They had to pull together some psychic energy from somewhere, and there was over 1,000 Viet Cong who were dead. Just simply dead bodies. None of us were hurt.
All right, now that Stargate patch, what does that mean?
Stargate is another project down buried underneath Project Talent. And they use the Stargate. They can travel to distant planets, solar systems, universes.
So that actually exists?
Yes, and Aaron McCullum was definitely in that program.
Okay, so is this guy, this John Morrow, that had the Stargate patch, is he from the future, or is he from our time?
Well, he's from our time, and unfortunately he died a couple of years ago. He went back to take care of his mother in Ohio and developed this gruesome cancer that killed him in about 3 weeks.
That's a little
Isn't
curious.
That interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was another person in his town at the time. It was a psychic named Lana somebody or other, who was Celtic. And she did, instantaneously, she did not like me. And that's fine. She tried to form a relationship with Duncan, a friendship, and Duncan talked to her a couple of times and said, don't tell me, I know, you're going to stay away from her. He said, you're right. She was a watcher.
Okay, explain that to us.
Watchers are people who are definitely associated with Project Talent and the powers that be, who are sent in to watch people like Duncan and probably me. There's another gentleman in this town who is, quote, a real estate agent, unquote, whom I have never met. And what's more, I don't want to meet him. John told me that his first name is Will. He said he is another watcher. You got to be careful with him. So it's interesting that as more of us become awake, more and more memories are put together that absolutely coincide, and they can't be made up memories. And
then explain to us why you say they cannot be made up memories.
When someone says, "I remember this," and then you're in some oddball state of the world, and someone says, "Man, Dave, where have you been? I haven't seen you in 20 years, and I have no recollection of that person even knowing me that I existed, let alone knowing me in a foreign country."
Mm-hmm.
And then as you walk around, other people say, "Hi, Dunk, hi, Dave, where you guys been? Haven't seen you in a long time." Now, could they have been planted there? Yeah, but from the looks of them, they had lived there for all their lives. Makes you wonder.
Well, it does. It does indeed. All right, now, what kind of missions, from your perspective, from your experience with the super soldiers, what sort of missions were carried out? You don't have to give us specifics about specific missions, but just give us an idea. What do they do?
Assassinations, kidnapping, retrieval of people who were trying to escape to another country. Political assassinations. Warnings, threats. Gathering information on different people and projects and whatever they sent me out to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as far as, for instance, with the CIA, and I know the Super Soldier program does not operate directly under the CIA, or at least that's what I understand.
Pardon my laugh.
But with the CIA, you know, they say that, you know, we don't do assassinations. That's not our bag. We do not assassinate foreign leaders, etc. But what you're telling us is that even though they don't, there is someone who does.
Let me answer that with this question. Do you trust your government and everything they say?
Well, of course. They have an American flag, right?
I don't believe them.
I said that tongue in cheek.
I know.
Let me say this for the record, and I would say this off the record. There are people within our government, and there are parts of our government that I do trust and that I have a great deal of respect for, and I think they're just some of the finest people in the country. There are people within our government, and it's a massive thing, our government. There are people within it and parts of it that I think are evil and that should not be and should never have been part of our government. And
I do not agree with you more.
But I don't paint the government with a broad brush and say that it's all evil and should be done away with, and I'm not there at all. I think there are some absolutely wonderful, fantastic people that love the Constitution and love our country and really are doing what they're doing because of that, that are working in various parts of the government. But there's some bad apples, and it seems these days that the number of bad apples is kind of increasing.
Exponentially, in my opinion.
All right. Now, and by the way, let me point this out. Remember the TV series X-Files?
Yes.
In that TV series, we got to see, I know it was fiction, but we got to see portrayed before our eyes exactly what I was just talking about, where you have Fox Mulder really going after the information the American people have a right to know. You have Scully that was assigned to watch him, and she was sort of his keeper, and to report back on everything he was uncovering. And then you have other people within the government, and it sort of looked like maybe they were part of the FBI, and maybe they weren't, like the guy that smoked the cigarettes.
The Marlboro Man.
The Marlboro Man. And he was a real enemy of the American people. And he was a bad guy. But once in a while, he would do something good for Mulder. But he was essentially a bad guy inside the government. You know, even though that was fiction, I think it kind of accurately portrays the real state of affairs inside the government. That there's some that are great, good, wonderful people, and some that are kind of Marlboro Men. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking with Dave Corso. And Dave, when we went to break, I was just wrapping up saying, yeah, there are parts of our government and certain people in our government that I do trust, that I think are crusaders for what's right, and they have integrity and they have backbone. But they seem to be in the minority right now, and there are great, great, great numbers of folks that seem to be spineless, lack integrity, and don't have even a passing familiarity with the Constitution. But that's just my opinion. But yeah, I can't say, when you say, do you trust your government, I cannot answer no. We'd have to say which part, as to do I trust what they say. But having said that, those are the parts that are running programs like Project Talent, and that ran stuff like MK Ultra, which, by the way, was determined to be an illegal CIA operation. And some people may remember the, I think it was the Church Committee, Frank Church, Senator Frank Church ran the committee that investigated this. And they had a devil of a time investigating it, because the director of the CIA in 1973 ordered all of the documents related to MKUltra to be destroyed. And so they had to rely on witness testimony. I bring that up because when people say, well, that's just Dave Corso, and he's just saying what he's saying, he's got no proof of this or that, or that's just Duncan O'Finian saying what he's saying, they've got no proof, let us remember that the MK Ultra program was uncovered by, was investigated by, and declared to be illegal by a Senate committee that had to rely almost entirely on witness testimony. And the reason is because the CIA destroyed the documents. So I would say that witness testimony, if it's good enough for the Senate, maybe it ought to be good enough for us. Do you think that's, I'm off true base with that?
Yeah, as it happened at the Awake and Aware convention, or gathering in September in Burbank, when a lady says, well, how can we take and tie this to things that happened in the newspaper and that? And I said, you can't. And Duncan made a statement, you know, like, that's why they're called black operations.
All right, let me ask you this. much of what you did as a super soldier, for many, many years, you didn't remember it, right?
Beg pardon?
You didn't remember it for many years, right?
No.
All right. What about, were you married at the time? Did your wife know what you were doing?
I was not married at the time.
Uh-huh. Sometimes people say, well, I know my sister couldn't have been doing that because she was with the Air Force in Japan. Or I know my brother couldn't have been doing this because he was in a mental institution. Does any of that mean anything? I mean, just because they're in a mental institution for public consumption means absolutely nothing about where they are in reality, right?
That's correct. And it's interesting, there is one of the people that was on the team has memories of me saving her in 1971. Very vivid memories of putting her in a suitcase and going through a jungle to save her. What's interesting is she wasn't born until 1973 in this life cycle. How do you put a handle on that?
I don't know. I think a lot of people would say they have pills for that.
Well, it's called time travel. That's something else that's been a reality for a long time.
So we're actually living in the illusion that, or we're living in an illusion, and this illusion is that time travel doesn't exist, and the illusion is there are no stargates. The illusion is that everything is very pedestrian and it's right here on Earth. But what you're telling us is things are not pedestrian, and we have time travel, and we have stargates.
And you have super soldiers.
And you have super soldiers.
And we have a new world order, and we have the Illuminati, and all other kinds of weird things that are a little bit perturbed because things aren't going exactly as they would have us believe.
One of the things,
because there's too many people who are being woken up who do indeed have a Project Talent background who are being, shall we use the polite term, messed with.
And messed with, what do you mean by that?
There is one person I know who is in a battle to retain custody of the children who's not having much success because the CPS wants that person to plead guilty to child abuse or accessory to child abuse, and there was no child abuse involved. And it's to the point where that person is being adjudged by all the people who know her as being crazy.
Well, look, we've reached a place in this country, and I think it's because, I don't know, it's just my opinion. I think a lot of it's because of television shows. But we've reached a place where a person walks into court, and they are listed as the defendant. And the attitude of the press and the attitude of the jury, even though they give lip service in a different direction, the real attitude, and we all know it, is, well, if they weren't guilty, they wouldn't have been arrested.
Exactly right.
But if we go back to the Constitution, folks, when that person walks into court, he's not the person that's on trial. He has been accused by agents of the state of violating the rules of the state. And what is on trial is the police and their evidence. They have to prove their case. The so-called defendant is presumed innocent. Now, if he's presumed to be innocent, then the police are presumed to be in error. And they have to overcome that. They have to prove that. They have to prove their case. Now, here's what's important about that. Whether it was intentional or whether, in other words, orchestrated, or whether it's just a side effect of all these TV shows, cop shows and detective shows and all that stuff. There has been a mind control that has shifted us from presuming the person to be innocent to presuming that they are guilty. It is a mind control thing. Now, I don't know if it was done on purpose or if it's just a side effect. But the reason I bring that up, here's why I bring that up.
Is with the dumbing down of the public school system, and generations now, at least two generations of people who are, as long as they have their beer and their stock car or their sports to watch, they don't care about nothing else.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a reason. And it could be, listen to this. I'm kind of getting over into Dr. Nick Begich's bag of information here, but this is not from him, but he deals with this a lot. Everybody's heard of DARPA. It's the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And it conceived stealth technology, and they confirmed that the Pentagon was working out ways to resist the effects of sleep deprivation. And you know what they are working on? Columbia University in New York. They're working on and experimenting with a particular frequency of electromagnetic energy. Hit the pilot with it, and he won't go to sleep. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to open up the telephone lines in just a moment. And I know if you've got some questions, I know you have some questions. And let me say this. If you have questions, that's why we have a telephone line, all right? And we'll give the numbers out in just a moment. If you have questions or if you have comments, pick up your telephone and give us a call. And talk to the guest himself, all right? Sometimes after a guest has been on, I'll get a series of emails from people, well, you know, what about this and what about... Well, I'm not the one with the information, okay? I'm the one with the microphone, but the person with the information is the one on the telephone talking to us tonight. His name's Dave Corso. So if you have a question, when we open the phone lines, you'll want to call in. Dave, one thing very, very quickly. Is this Super Soldier program continuing today?
Yes.
Are you sure it's continuing?
Don't mind that. That's my inside pack barking at my son who just came through the door.
Are you sure that this Super Soldier program is continuing?
It has to be. There has been... As was brought out in Awake and Aware by several speakers, that it does continue. And they're probably into the fifth generation. I was what they call first generation. Dunk was first generation. Aaron McCollum is fourth or probably fifth generation.
Okay. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines. Folks, the telephone numbers are, if you're watching our TV channel, appearing on your screen. For those of you who are listening by radio, the main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you can call me without it costing you long distance, please call me at 623-444-5889. Don't make the mistake of believing that, oh, that line's busy, so I'll call the toll-free number. The toll-free number rings to the same line, okay? So if 623 is busy, that toll-free number's busy, all right? If you're not in the United States, if you are not in Canada, that toll-free number does not work for you. Well, it'll work, but it's not toll-free. So what we've set up for you is a flash message option for those outside of the USA and outside of Canada. You just go to my website, scroll down, and you will see a link that says Flash Message, and that's if you're outside of the USA and Canada. All right, let's go to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Excuse me. The question is there anybody on the inside that is wanting or trying to put this to an end and stop all this stuff? And question number two, who are these guys in black suits with pale skin, otherwise known as the Men in Black, that show up from time to time? Those are the two questions I have.
Okay. So how do you put a stop to it?
Well, the only way you're going to put a stop to it is to get a totally honest government. That's why a lot of us are awake and being awakened, and there's more and more people coming out that are enabling others to say, wait a minute, what happened to me? But by the same token, you got to be careful because there's a lot of wannabes. And there's a lot of disinformation agents who are on the inside that try to make it like they're coming awake.
How can you tell the difference?
You have to trust your senses.
Okay.
I draw a very good sense about people. And because I'm a people watcher, it's probably easier for me than it is for most. I can watch a person type in a chat room. I can watch how they interact with other people, and I can draw a very good sense of who that person is. And there's a lot of things going on right now to try and split up this friendship that's developed among several of us. And it's very insidious the way they're going about it.
All right, what about the Men in Black?
The Men in Black, well, my opinion of that is they could damn well be aliens.
Do you have any actual knowledge about them, or are you just kind of speculating along with the rest of us?
Well, I don't know. You have that thing about MUFON. Well, I did it, and when Aaron was here in November, we did a 2.5-hour tape of what we call a blinker. I have a very good friend who is an avid UFO hunter. He took my tape and he analyzed it. He said, when you look at this and you see this wave of energy coming off at 360 degrees constantly, and you see, then you can see the blinking lights, and they blinked red, white, blue, orange, green, purple, and yellow in a consistent pattern. That was not a star. It came straight up from Area 51 and then went straight south. It did not follow the path of the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to post that up on YouTube probably this week or next week.
All right. Let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I mentioned this to Kevin one time. I don't know who was on, but we were talking about Venturi and candidates. I wonder, Dave, do you think it would ever be possible if our government, went into martial law, you know, and started putting people in concentration camps and killing people and stuff like that? I thought that since how a lot of you guys are waking up, Would you be willing to be party to if somebody came to you to gather a bunch of you guys together that you know, have this knowledge and all these abilities to create an army to, you know, because your information would be invaluable about where the enemy is underground or whatever and who's who, you know, and covertly.
Okay, we get the picture. You would they be willing to put it together and form a resistance to martial law?
Would I be adverse to it? Not at all. But what makes you think it isn't already happening?
Well, that's what I hope it is, but, you know, I mean, that's why I say you guys would be invaluable to any success that we may have.
When they declare martial law and they try to seize all the weapons, who do you think is the first group that's going to be rounded up?
You guys, Kevin, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I just think you guys would be an ace in the hole if, you know, we could get an
army
of you guys together.
Well, if you take a look at this 2,600-page so-called health bill, in there is a section about establishing a ready reserve corps. Hello, brown shirts. It's in there. And what do you think they're going to be used for? Gathering information and giving it back to the powers that be about who's a veteran and who has guns and what their thoughts of the government are and so on and so forth. And there isn't any charismatic leader who is not a part of the government who has arisen and says there's a lot of people saying we got to do something about this. We got to do something. Fine. What do you think we ought to do? But no one's come forward because I'm pretty sure that there are a few people who pretend to be awake and aware are actually insiders who are disinformation agents. And that's my personal opinion.
All right. Terry, thank you for the call. I think the very first people they would want to round up, if they were going to round up people to put down resistance, would be people who can think and people who can fight.
Like veterans?
Yeah, yeah. All right, back to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hola, mi amigo. ¿Cómo está usted?
Yeah, hola. Dave, you mentioned time travel. From what you know, I was wondering, if you travel back in time, do the things you do have an effect on the present timeline?
They have to. They have to.
Because I've heard different theories of that when you travel back and forth, you're going on like alternate timelines, so I wondered if that's what you thought, or if you see just one timeline.
No, I see that if I were to go back, say, and prevent my mother and father from getting married in 1925, would I be here? Probably not as I know myself now.
Okay, I mean, it does make sense. Otherwise, why would somebody want to go back in time unless you're looking for something that got lost?
You know, letting you back and steal all the gold off the Titanic before it sank.
Yeah, it sounds like a good task.
It does indeed. It does. Okay. All right, Rex, thanks for the call. Que tengas un buen noche. The reason I'm speaking Spanish with him is he sent me an email, Dave. And from time to time, I speak in different languages briefly on the show. And he wanted to know, where did I learn so many different languages? And so I had addressed that. I told him. And so then he called in. I decided I had to do Spanish because he said he speaks Spanish. Yo hablo español, pero no muy rápido. Okay, let's go back to the telephone and caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Universe.
Calling from the universe. Okay.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. How are you?
Finally short and magnificent. How are you?
Joe, if you will, reach around there and turn the volume down on your radio. We can hear us coming back in delay.
I'm sorry, but... Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Do you ever meet Los Alamos?
Pardon me?
Ah. Have you ever been out to Los Alamos?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, out there, Bigfoot.
Someone just came in my front door, and my alarm systems are going off.
Okay, go ahead, Joe. We're waiting.
I have been to Los Alamos.
Hi, Dave. How are you? Remember me? I'm Joe from Star Level 5, Los Alamos. Remember me? I wanted to ask you a couple questions tonight about Project Camelot.
Okay.
Dr. Finnegan, fry scan incident, and all that stuff. And your connection to Barump, MK Ultra. Is MK Ultra for real, to your knowledge, or no?
I know it's true. I know with every fiber of my being it's true, just like Project Talon's true and Stargate's true and a number of other things that you can't even begin to think about.
Well, I can begin to think about them. Well, Stargate is one of my projects, and I can begin to think about it. In fact, I may have been one of the first thinkers about that.
Stargates have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Well, maybe I have too.
That could be. That could well be.
I'd like to know about the base that you're talking about at St. Thomas. I own some property down there. Should I invest or dump? Just kidding. Tell me about what you know about
it. It was interesting when Duncan and I were down there about 5 years ago, and we were walking around. We were down there on business to take care of some property, and people knew us, knew my name.
Hey, David, I'm being facetious, by the way. I like what you're doing. There are a lot of people in areas that you don't know about that support what you're doing, and I just, you know, I'm being facetious here and just playing along a little bit. Unconventional friendship, so to speak. But go ahead, please, continue.
Anyways, when Duncan and I were down there, we ran across several people who knew us, and one person in particular said, "Dave, where have you been? I haven't seen you down there for 20 years." And Dunk, she said, "You've grown up. You're not that little kid anymore." And there's an island to the south of St. Thomas that absolutely fascinated Dunk and I. And we asked several of the locals about it, and they said, "You two should know about that." And neither Dunk and I can trigger a memory about that, outside of the fact that it is a non-military base having to do with intelligence.
Okay, Joe, I've got a question for you.
Wait a minute, Kevin.
Yes?
Could I ask a question?
Yep, but you have to go ahead. We can't.
Are those shepherds, or are those Melangeois? Belgian Melangeois. I just out of curiosity.
No,
are they Belgies or are they shepherds?
That's a purebred wolf.
No kidding.
Yep.
You know what? I got a buddy of mine.
Okay, Joe, I've got a question for you.
Yeah, my buddy is the wolf man up there in Alaska. He lives with the wolves. He's lived there for 30 years. Lives among the wolves.
Joe, can you hear me?
I have one who lives in my house.
Okay, Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Kevin.
I've got a question for you. You mentioned that Stargate is your baby, that you've been rocking it since the early days. What can you tell us about that?
Years, like David says.
Yeah, I understand. What can you tell us about Stargate?
Well, there's a project called Star Level 5 that's a special classification, special clearance. Very few people have it.
Okay.
Now, if you ever happen to come across a guy that, you know, you're in a meeting or you go to a presentation and you see someone wearing what looks like a little rocket ship on their lapel pin, there's only 7 of them that I know of. I have one of them.
Mm-hmm.
and I watch where I wear them because that's a message.
Okie dokie. All right. Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Very interesting. All right. Now, Dave, you said that you have been to Los Alamos. Was that on a vacation and you went to Los Alamos, or have you been there doing some work?
I was there to witness some things having to do with lasers, masers, and a few other things.
And this is while you were in the Marines?
Yes, when I was on active duty.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website. Scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message. And I've got one here from Australia. This is from Bob in Australia, and he wants to know if you know anything about ASIO in Australia. He says they do similar things like the CIA, or do they do similar things like the CIA? Super Soldiers and Stargates, any info would be helpful. I've tried to get into the ASIO website, but you can only go so far, and then your link is shut down. You know anything about the ASIO?
Don't know a thing about it.
All righty.
By the same token, I do know that Canada... I know that England has the equivalent of a Project Talon as do a number of other countries, so it seems logical that Australia would definitely have one.
Well, and at the time when Project Talon was in full swing, at least according to the public information about it, not only did the UK have it and Canada, Russia had a version of that going on, and it was thought that China had a version of that going on.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever confirmed that China was doing it, but there was some information that led people to believe that they were. Project Talent, and I want to underscore this, Project Talent was not Simon Cowell's America's Got Talent. It was not a talent search in that sense. Project Talent was going into the schools and doing tests that the tests lasted half a day. And what they were, well, the public side said they went into schools. They did it in other places too, though. And they were looking for people that had particular aptitudes. And then the reports that came out of that were used to talk about, or the reports talked about, things like intelligence / personality associations. And, you know, that sounds a whole lot like using the information to do mind control, to do personality splitting. Maybe not, but that's what it sounds like. But what we have in the background is not just some educational survey. We have the U.S. Office of Education, yes. But then we have Office of Naval Research and the National Science Foundation were all involved in Project Talent. MK Ultra had a bunch of programs under it, and it's my understanding, Dave, and I could be wrong, but I want to ask you, it's my understanding that MK Ultra was in fact the umbrella or parent agency or organization or program for Project Talent. Is that true?
That's correct. And there's at least 192 sub-programs underneath Project Talent.
Hmm.
But by the same token, there are other groups who are doing similar things who would take a Project Talent graduate, would take one of their what's called an alter, and they would split that alter further to do other things that Project Talent wouldn't know about.
So it's kind of like those Russian dolls with a doll and a doll and a doll and a doll. Yeah. All right, we have to step away for a break, and let me ask the caller. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. You're on hold. You won't hear anything, but after we come back from the break, you'll be first up. We're talking this evening with Dave Corso, and Dave is telling us about his involvement as a super soldier. He was first generation super soldier. He says we're now on probably fifth or sixth generation super soldier. We'll find out what that means too when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Dave Corso, and we have a caller online. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Dave from Colorado. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. I had a question for Dave Corso. I was wondering, isn't this super soldier program, doesn't this go back like thousands of years to like, you know, like the times of a Knights Templar when, you know, they were able to put together a force of like, you know, just a few hundreds of troops that were able to defeat an army that was like 10 times their size, you know, when they were like fighting back in the medieval times with Saladin, and then you had like the Spartans who had like that super soldier culture type training and were able to defeat armies that were a lot larger than them. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
That's a very interesting question. That may have been then, but this really started in late 20s, early 30s in Germany. And they did a tremendous amount of research into this. And, of course, they brought all those doctors and scientists over here on Project Paperclip. But they were all, the federal government was also doing research into that before. They had to be, because my brother has to be a pre-generation super soldier.
What do you mean by pre-generation?
That's how they got to me, because he's Celtic and Sicilian. Most of the people who are involved in this are Celtic Native American.
Any reason why?
There's something about the Celtic bloodlines that's absolutely intriguing.
Do you know what it is?
It is the psychic ability that I'm convinced is part of what they look for in the Celtic bloodlines. I know Stanford Research Institute, SRI, nice place, does a lot of good, but they're also a screening ground for Project Talent. My son was tested there for 3 days when he was 6 years old. Now, he tested a genius or above in 5 out of 7 categories. But there was something about him that they felt he would not be a good candidate. So, this has to go back, you know, 70 years here. Because, you know, Hitler was financed by what has become known as the New World Order.
Hitler tried three times to make peace with Britain during World War II, and three times Churchill told him to go fly a kite. He did not want war with England, did not want war with the United States.
Well, but he did attack England.
Yes, he did, but he tried to make peace with them, too.
Hmm. Well, that's, I have to admit, that's not something that I was aware of. I do know that Ho Chi Minh tried.
About World War II that are an absolute, total, complete fabrication. But I won't go into that.
So do you think Hitler was a good guy?
No, I think he was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he was the worst of the bad guys. I don't think he's any worse than what we have now. Because right now we are so close to having a socialistic government where they have the president uses signing letters and he uses presidential decrees and he has all these czars, and where in the Constitution does it say he can have these czars? Czars is Russian.
I'm certainly not going to defend that happening, but I am going to point out a fact of history, and that is that he isn't the first one to do that.
No.
We have, for I guess since Eisenhower, we have had presidents ruling by decree. They call it executive order. More and more and more. Now, FDR did it a lot, and FDR had a bunch of czars. He's the first one to have czars. But we've had a long line of presidents that have ruled by executive order. And we even had Bill Clinton make the statement one time that if he couldn't get this national gun control going through the Congress, then he said, we can't do it legislatively, I'll do it with an executive order. Now, then he was informed that an executive order only has the force of law upon federal employees. It does not have any force of law upon anybody but federal employees. So that's the thing that saved Second Amendment rights then. But we've been exposed to presidents acting more like kings for most of my life, not all of it, but for most of it. And I think that's part of what Eisenhower was warning us about, as he warned us about the military-industrial complex, the seeking and obtaining of unwarranted power. I think that's all part of that. I think he was warning us about the New World Order without using that term. But I've got a question about Project Stargate. Now, you said earlier that we have time travel and we have stargates where they can travel to other planets, other solar systems, other universes. Do you know anybody... Do you know anybody that actually has traveled through the stargates to other planets, or how do you know about this?
The movie they had was Stargate, the series they had on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put nothing into those programs unless they're rubbing our nose into it. And that's a hard concept for a lot of people to grasp. And they have this new one out now called V, where the reptilians come down and they take human form.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think they're rubbing our nose in it. Now, stargates, they can also be used to transport people here within this planet.
So you mean they can be used, I'm just making this example up. But you, the concept would be they could be used to go from New York to Beijing instantly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when we have the missing time down in St. Thomas with Duncan and I from Tuesday evening until Thursday evening. Sitting here talking with Aaron one night, and we were talking about that. And all of a sudden, I could see this light come on in his eyes. He said, "Oh, my God, do you know where we went?" I said, "Someplace in South America, I think." He says, "How about we did an assassination in Venezuela?" Now, I don't have any idea who was assassinated in that time frame. But I do know when I come back and I'm getting a shower, I looked at Duncan and I said, "I'm going to take a shower, but where have we been for the last 2 days?" And Dunk says, "What day is it?" I said, "What day do you think?" He says, "I think it's Tuesday." I said, "No, it's Thursday. We've been gone for 2 days."
So what do you make of that?
Well, apparently somehow they triggered Dunk and I, and we went off and did a project with Aaron and one other person in Venezuela.
How can you be sure that's not some kind of a false memory that's been implanted in you?
That's interesting. I don't. But when Duncan or when Aaron sits here and has this memory, and Duncan has no memory, and yet we both have 2 days of missing time, to me, it's a very distinct possibility. But let's talk about implanted memories for a minute.
All right.
One of the things I've become crucially aware of in the past 3 weeks is this implanted guilt feeling that they put in you, where it could take many forms, like, I have to go out and save the world, I have to save other people from this, and all the things I did when they were, I'm so guilty of spilling all this blood and so on and so forth. That, to me, is a very crucial part of the programming they leave in Project Talon graduates, because what blood we spilt does not rest in our head and our hands. It rests on the head and hands of those that ordered us. So many people cannot even grasp that concept. We were just soldiers sent out to do a job, and we did it.
Do you have the ability to say no?
No. Because it's another alter that they're using. It's not this conscious me that I know as Dave Corso. It's one that's programmed to respond and to act.
All right, now if I were to run into you or Duncan when you're in this alter, when you're in the alternate personality, you've been programmed in this alternate personality to go do a project. Maybe it's wet work, maybe it's not. But you've been you're on the mission, and I run into you out on the street. Will you look and act like a normal person, or do you look and act kind of like a zombie?
I would look and act like a normal person, but I would not know you.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that this consciousness that you're in right now is not an altered consciousness? How do you know this is the real one?
I don't. Do you?
Well, as far as I know, I don't have an alter.
Four of my alters have merged with my main with my what I call my real personality. And they will take over, but in such a manner that you won't realize that they've taken over. But I've noticed now, since I've become aware of this, there's a difference in the way my brain operates. I will sit differently. I will talk differently. I will may even act a little bit differently, but you're still going to think it's just Dave Corso.
Mm-hmm. Now, do these altered personalities, have they communicated their information and memories to your main personality?
I think that they're trying to, and they have been trying for years. But my awakening started back in 1980 when I did a program with Warner Earhart Seminar Training.
All right, we have to step away for a break, Dave. Folks, we'll be back right after this. We'll be on Final Approach. Get your fingers ready if you want to call. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Dave Corso. And Dave, we were talking about how can you know that this is the personality, this is the real one, instead of this one perhaps being an alter. Let me give you a scenario and see what you think about it. What if this personality was an alter that was created for you to go into sort of safe mode until they need you again?
Interesting thought.
Would you be able to tell?
I don't think I would be, because what I perceive is that this is the main me. Because I have memories going back to when I was 2 years old that I had verified with my mom and dad later on. I started asking questions about things when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Dad says, God, you still remember that? I said, yeah. So, I don't know, to be truthful and answer that question. It could be, but I like to think it's me.
Are you comfortable with this personality?
I'm very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. What about when you slip into one of the alter personalities that have begun to merge? Are you comfortable with that personality?
To be truthful, I don't even recognize it. Other people who are aware of things like this have brought it to my attention. So obviously, at least to me, I'm very comfortable with it.
When was it that you were in St. Thomas with Duncan?
It had to have been 5 years ago.
Okay, so obviously as recently as 5 years ago, they were able to activate an altered personality and have you do a job if the memory that has come back to Duncan or to Aaron, if that memory is accurate, then they were able to activate your altered personality and Duncan's.
And it has to be alters, one of the alters from 1, 2, 3, or 4.
How would they have triggered it?
It can be a sound, it can be a smell, it can be a tone, it can be someone uttering the right words.
Could it be an electromagnetic pulse?
I don't see why it couldn't be.
And I read again.
That would, again, go hand in hand with what you said about them giving that electromagnetic shock to a pilot to keep them awake.
Yep. Well, it's not a shock. It's just an electromagnetic energy pulse. Now, I'm going to read this paragraph from the article again. One of the agency's plans for keeping warriors awake is to zap their brains with electromagnetic energy. Much of the research is being conducted at Columbia University in New York in the laboratories of the Neurological Science Department. So if we can aim an electromagnetic device out over the battlefield, zap the warriors with this electromagnetic frequency and cause them all to become alert and awake, it would seem to me that it could be used for other things as well.
I totally agree with you.
And so it could be something that you didn't hear, didn't see, didn't smell,
didn't taste,
just an electromagnetic pulse or an electromagnetic frequency that's being transmitted, say, for instance, through your television set. Have you considered that?
And we didn't watch TV while we were down there. Of course, they had the old CRT TVs, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we did both had cell phones, and they both worked down there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thought.
I watched Jesse Ventura's show. Actually, I never had time to watch it live because he was on at the same time I'm on the air. But I've seen a replay of the shows where they actually programmed a young guy to walk with a limp.
Yes.
And the signal was a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Or it came in a phone call.
Yes.
And then there was just a word given, and he began to walk funny, and Jesse asked him about it, and the guy says, "What are you talking about? I'm not walking with a limp." And so he did not know it, and yet everybody could see it. So I would think that would be something like how an altered personality would work. Everyone else can see, only the person that it's happening to doesn't know it.
Exactly.
However, if you received a phone call, your cell phones would have recorded the number from which you received a call. Did you have any strange or extraneous numbers?
I checked the phone, and I did not. The only calls that I didn't receive any calls while I was down there, but I did make calls out. And they were back here to my home to check with my son.
Did you listen to radio while you were down there?
No.
You know, that would be another interesting way. We'll just say that the word that activates you is Suzanne's 16th birthday. We'll say that's the phrase that activates you. I call to a radio station. I do a dedication. I ask the DJ. I tell him, "Look, I'll slip you an extra $20, man. Just say we're dedicating this to Suzanne because it's Suzanne's 16th birthday." And if I know you're listening to the radio, I know you get the message. It's on, and nobody can trace it to me.
Yep.
How do you think they activate you?
To be honest, Kevin, I don't have a conscious recollection of it.
Mm-hmm. So where do you go from here? We've got 1 minute left. Where do you go from here? What's up for you? Are you
wherever this amazing journey of life opens a door, I can go through.
All right.
Life to me is I get up in the morning or in the afternoon, depending on how long I sleep,
mm-hmm.
Just to see what this day holds for me. And believe me, I'm never bored.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Do you have any fears at all that they may reactivate you again?
I hope they're ready for it.
What does that mean?
Because if they were to react now with what I have learned, I don't think I would be that cooperative with them.
You think you would have the ability to say no this time?
I would like to think I do. I won't know until it happens again.
All right. Well, look, stay on the line with me for a moment. We've run up against the end of the show, but I want to thank you for being here. It has been a fascinating 2 hours.
Kevin, this has been the fastest 2 hours in my life, and I thank you again for having me on your show.
All right. Just stay on the line with me. I want to talk with you for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, Dave Corso. I was not in the chat room last Saturday because I was doing that special edition with Jerry Wills. I was his guest on his show. I've received a number of emails wanting to know, am I going to do the chat this month? And yes, I will be in the chat room this Saturday as a substitute chat because we didn't get to do it this past weekend. So if you are a member, then you'll want to join us in the chat room on Saturday evening at Showtime. And we have a good time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.